Yours, El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bobby Dooley, and this is the Phil Hendry Show. I was listening to some people who were filling in for Phil last week. First of all, I should say that the reason why we're filling in for Phil tonight, Steve, is not because Phil, it's not because Phil is on vacation.
No, he's sick.
Well, he's not sick.
He got insomnia.
He has insomnia. And so what that does, it must be a terribly crippling thing to have. I've heard people say that it's very crippling, but not in any literal sense. It doesn't put you in a wheelchair.
Like on Stephen Hawking?
I'm sorry, Steve. Stephen, I want to introduce you. This is my husband, Steve Dooley. He's the vice president of Western States Homeowners Association. I am the president. What were you saying, honey?
Well, is it the kind that put you, Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking does not have insomnia, no. That's not why he's in that chair. I think there's far too much joking going on about people like Stephen Hawking. That man has gone through an awful lot.
I'm not joking. What you said about crippling.
I understand that, Steve, but just because I said crippling doesn't mean that Stephen Hawking is in a chair like that and is speaking mechanically and is sort of gnarled up, as the boys said. They said, who's the man that's gnarled? And I said, where? And they said, they pointed to the television, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's Stephen Hawking. They said, well, that's gnarly. Have you ever heard the kids say this?
Yeah, they'll say gnarly and everything.
The kids will say, oh, that's gnarly. And the kids looked at Stephen Hawking, and they said, oh, he's gnarly. And I said, yes, he's gnarled up. And they said, no, it's gnarly. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And my eldest, Dylan, who is, this is terrible, I don't remember the age of my eldest son. He's either 19 or 16.
I think he's about 16.
Well, in any event, my eldest son, I said, what do you mean he's gnarly? I thought, he said, you know, Mom, he's gnarly. I said, no, I don't know. I said, in my generation, when we say it's gnarled up, it's like a witch with the gnarly hands, you know? And they're all gnarled. And he said, no, Mom, it's gnarly. I said, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell me what you mean by that, or I'm going to bring down the wrath of God Almighty on you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how I deal with my sons. The flip side, though, is this. We give them the freedom to be themselves. They can bring their friends over on the weekends. Our philosophy is very simple. Do it here in the house. Don't do it out in the streets. And today I had a wonderful conversation with a very, very lovely man, Chris D'Elia.
No, Chris D'Elia.
Well, don't yell. Who are you speaking to, Steve?
It says Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia, yes. I thought I said that.
No, you said D'Elia.
I did not say D'Elia. No, I didn't.
I thought I heard that.
Well, you heard wrong. D'Elia. Why would I say that? So, he was a very charming man. He's on the show Whitney. We spoke about so many things, and he took exception to my philosophy, which is, let the children, if they're going to do it, they should do it at the house. So I said to him, what would you rather have? Your children out laying in the street and having sex with a goat, or laying on the living room floor, doing it in front of everyone, and you filming it? And I couldn't, do you remember what he said, Steve?
Yeah, he couldn't get, you know about it and everything.
I know, and I said, obviously you're not a father. And he said, no, I'm not. I said, bingo. You're not a father. You don't understand. I said, if you were a father, the choice is any man that's listening to me right now, any mother that's listening to me right now, what would you rather, your daughter laying in a field somewhere or a vacant lot among tin cans and rusted rebar as a motorcycle gang? Oh, God.
Yeah, bad.
As an entire motorcycle gang initiates her as their mama or their hoglet or whatever they do? Or would you rather that she's there in the comfort of your pool room or your cabana or the kitchen? I don't know. I don't know where, you know. And
not even the husband.
And your own husband is now. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm asking, what would you prefer? You know.
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of it.
They are afraid of it. They are afraid. They don't want to have to make that. They don't want to look at the hard, cold reality of it. Okay? They don't want to look at the hard. They don't want to look at the cold, hard, the rock hard. Oh, God, I'm very nervous tonight. I'm so excited about being here. I'm so nervous. They don't want to look at the long, hard, throbbing. Not.
They don't want to look at how rock hard it is.
No, you don't say they don't want to look at how rock hard it is. You say they don't want to look at the rock hard reality. Well, that sounds bad, too. They don't want to look at the reality. That's the best way to say it. And the reality is this. Your daughter is either out there in a field, in a street, in an alley, being manhandled over garbage cans, or she's in the comfort of your TV room with a number of high school friends. And yes, they're having their way, but she's enjoying it because you're there to, I don't know, I don't want to get to it. It's starting to give me the creeps a little.
Why? I mean, they're saying things have got to be said.
Well, it's giving me the creeps about, you know, she's enjoying it. Anyway, welcome to the Phil Henry Show. My name is Bobby Dooley. And for those of you who don't know me, I am the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. We have a community up here in West Hills, California. We have anywhere from 200 to 53 homes. I know that sounds weird, but I don't have the facts and figures.
We do have condominium. I'll tell people if you want me to.
Yeah, here's my husband, Steve, to tell you more.
We got condominiums and help me.
Take it easy. Calm down, Steve.
We got condominium.
Take a sip of water, honey.
What?
Take a sip of water. He's very nervous. Go ahead.
Ah!
Don't drink it like you're a horse at a trough. God almighty.
Sorry. We've got condominium and we have a house.
Yes, we have houses. How many houses do we have?
We've got 2,300.
No, we don't have 2,300.
No, I mean, we got 20, and also it seems like we have 300.
Okay, we have 20 homes, but it seems sometimes as if we have 300. So come out to Western Estates, take a look at our floor plan, take a look at the model, take a look at our floor plan again, take a look at the model, and then go and see the house. Because the floor plan and the model, they're both the same thing, and it's a she, she's a human. I'm kidding, no.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she got one heck of a floor plan.
Take it easy, Steve, because when you get excited, people think that you have a disability.
Right.
No, come out to Western Estates, look at our Magnolia phase, look at the Bougainvillea phase. All of our phases are named after plants, and I guess they're all flowers, right? I think they are. Bougainvillea, Magnolia, Hesperia, Asparagus. Not Asparagus. Really? Okay. Judy Boone is here. No, don't go on the mic, Judy, because that's all right. She's very nervous, too, and she doesn't want to go on the mic. You don't have to, honey. What are the phases?
Well, there's Bougainvillea.
Yes, Bougainvillea, and then there's the asparagus.
No, that's the...
Are you talking because you want to, honey?
No, I'm nervous. I don't want to.
You don't have to talk that loud. You can write a note. Because when you talk on the radio, people think that I'm running some kind of a day room for people to sit and lean over to one side and watch television. When you and Steve get together, they think I'm at some sort of a facility, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, don't write it down, Judy.
Okay.
See what I mean? But they're both actual adults, and I'm married to one, and the other is a very good saleswoman when it comes to the homes we have here. But when she's on the radio, people often remark, "My God, what have you done? My God, what is it, and what have you done?" Let's take a break. I'm Bobby Dooley. Welcome to our program. I'm filling in for Phil Hendry, who is taking a much-needed break. And we're going all the way till, I don't know, because I don't really know when we...
I think we're going like all the way to 4.
All the way to 4 a.m. Anyway, it is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Bobby Dilley. We'll be right back.
Is our
and Judy
bitch.
Boone's here.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Judy Boone is here. Judy, sit down, honey.
Okay.
And welcome back, everyone. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, but my name is Bobby Dooley, and you can hear the beautiful sounds of... on the line is Hector Lone Pine, and Hector is... it is his security company that we use at Western Estates, so when you come to visit us, we are a gated community, so that when you approach our entryway, we have a gorgeous entryway that we redesigned last year... And we added some things that we needed. We put in some beautiful vegetation and foliage. We redid the actual security shack. We redid the whole entryway. So it's a more pleasant and, I think, a more befitting welcome to Western Estates. Hector is with me from our security gate up front. And, Hector, how are you, first of all?
I'm very, very good, and it's wonderful to be with you, Mr. Lee.
And it is your company that Steve and I, after we had done a great deal of interviewing, when we took over as the president and the vice president and the treasurer and the something, or I forget what else I do.
Well, you are the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. I know your husband, Steve, is the recording secretary, and you're the treasurer.
No, actually, it's the reverse.
Oh, you're right. That's correct. Now, Steve is the treasurer. The recording secretary, I mean.
That, exactly. Steve's the recording secretary. I'm the treasurer. Can we describe what that bird is that I'm hearing behind you? Hector is at the front gate of Western Estates, and we invested a lot of time. My husband, Steve, has a wildly successful landscaping business, but he did take time out of his very, very busy day to work on the entryway to Western Estates. What is that bird that we're hearing?
That's a cockatoo, I think, a macaw. Ms. Dooley had these birds brought in from Ecuador and also some bird reserve in Mexico, so that the entryway to Western Estates is much like the experience you would have if you were paddling down the Amazon River, I think is what you told them.
Yes, exactly. I want people to have the feeling that when they come to Western Estates, they are in a, you know, you're in a dugout canoe, you're on the Amazon River, and it's nature, and it's anything can happen.
And I said to you, you know, on the Amazon River, you're going to maybe, I don't know, take a spear or something, or...
And yes, and what did I say?
You said to suspend a belief, the disbelief that you believe.
Yes, to suspend the disbelief that you believe, exactly, and that's what they do in the movies. So you have to suspend your disbelief, and when you come to Western Estates, even though you feel as if you're, I don't know how to describe it, I just love those birds, they're so tropic, you know, and don't you think so, Hector?
Yes, they are, very much.
And there, you hear them going, ooh, woo, 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 and you feel like you're in the tropics, you look like you're in the tropics, because I noticed that as we went along and we weren't misting, and I know I brought in a humidifier and some misting apparatus, but the guards up there, and yourself included, Hector, you looked as if you were coming down with some sort of skin rot, and I know that scared you.
Well, it did scare me because I said, my God, I feel like I'm on the Amazon, and now my skin began to rot off. Oh, boy.
Well, hold on, Hector, because you were fine, weren't you?
Well, I had to go. The doctor said, I'm a little bit scared, but I know everything's going to be okay. It was a first stage of leprosy.
Well, okay, now hold on for a minute, okay, because you're getting scared.
I apologize, Ms. Dooley. I know that I should have faith in you, and you have told me so many times. And Ms. Dooley says to have faith in her, and everything's going to be okay.
That is exactly, you said it. You said a mouthful there, Hector, because if you have faith, what Hector's referring to is we keep such an authentic... When you come to... Do you hear the bird there? It's going, whack, whack, whack. What is that bird?
That's a bird you'll hear I don't mean to be a smart. If you're going to get leprosy, you'll probably hear a bird like that.
No, you're right. If those birds are heard in countries where leprosy still is a factor. But let me just say this. Entering Western estates, you don't get leprosy, and I think that's unfortunate. But I do want the authentic. Hear that? It's almost like Tarzan is there.
Yes, I said to one of the guys one night, I said, boy, I hear that bird. I almost expect Tarzan to come leaping in and saying, hey, you know, it's too noisy at my house. Go and tell them to shut up, you know.
Well, I don't understand.
I'm, you know how I'm always told to go and tell someone to knock it off, that kind of thing?
Well, that's one of the jobs you have, yes.
Okay, well, I was thinking if Tarzan came flying in.
What do you mean fly? I don't understand.
Talking about Tarzan's on a vine, a monkey on a grapevine.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Hector, yes.
Yeah, Tarzan is on I don't know what you mean, monkey on a grapevine.
Well, Tarzan knows more tricks than a monkey on a 100-yard grapevine, like the man said. You give a guy a grapevine, man do good thing.
Don't do shorthand.
Yeah, you're doing shorthand. I didn't understand that, sir.
I mean, if you give a monkey grapevine, he's going to do some amazing things. I think that's one of the axioms in life.
That's true. That is true.
You understand what I'm saying?
Not really, but...
What I'm saying is, it's one of the axioms in life, one of my axioms in life, and...
Hold on for a minute. Steve, could you pronounce your words better? Because it sounds like it's one of my... it sounds like you're saying the A word.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's one of the axioms that I got in life.
Well, what do you want to axiom?
No, axiom.
No, he's not saying axiom as in a saying.
Oh, I see. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. It's an axiom in life where you say, you know what, you're the... Well, I forget, but if you got a monkey with 100 yards of grapevine.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. You know, we're all monkeys with 100 yards of grapevine. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, I don't think that's what he meant to say.
Well, I sort of.
Well, but you're saying, I don't understand a monkey on 100 yards of a grapevine.
No. It's a monkey on 100. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Ms. Dooley. I didn't.
No, that's all right, Hector. That's okay.
Can I ask you one thing, Hector, and then I'll back off? Your name, last name, Lone Pine?
That is correct, yes.
Is that Native American?
Yes, it is. It's my father was a full-blooded Arapaho Indian.
Now, what is Arapaho? What is that?
That's an Indian tribe that is Shoshone is also part of the same tribe, or same nation as Shoshone.
And that's the restaurant, right?
Yeah, they go and get the potluck.
No, I don't know of a restaurant that's...
There's a Shoshone's when you drive through certain sectors of America. Have you ever taken a long car drive and you'll go, oh, God, what is that? And, oh, God, remember, Steve, when we took the boys back east?
Yeah, we were all, like, gagging with a spoon.
How come? Why were you gagging?
Well, because we see these Bistuckies, and I didn't recognize any of Hardee's. Do you know what that is?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Listen to the bird. I can hear it going, wee, wee, wee. It's like the bird on that movie we saw, Steve.
Oh, yeah, Jungle Man.
Jungle Man. Did you ever see that, Hector?
No, ma'am, I did not see Jungle Man.
You never did? You took your kids? You didn't take the kids?
I don't know Jungle Man.
Jungle Man, and it had Louis Prima singing, I'd rather have a banana. I'd rather have a banana. You don't know that song?
No, ma'am, I don't. I have to. Miss Dooley, I know that you employ me, and I don't want to take your time, and I don't want to take time away from my job tonight.
You know, you are so responsible, Hector. That's why we love you so much.
Well, thank you very much.
And you, don't let me take you away from the very vital job you do for us at Western Estates. God bless you. God keep you safe. And, of course, we all say the prayer that if someone has to lay their life down, I do hope it's you so that we're safe and you'll have the glamour.
Yes, I know. That's what you've told me. I have it written down here so that I will have the glamour and the glory.
I wrote it out. If you get the glamour of having the guts, you get the glamour of having your guts. I forget what I wrote.
Well, I don't know if I should read it. It says, "I will give my life for Western States so that I have the glamour of not having no guts no more." Is that what you?
Yeah, it's something like that. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, darling, because I've been taking up far too much of your time.
Yes, and my pleasure. And also, I want to thank.
I have to hang up on him because he gets long-winded, you know.
Well, they want to start kissing. Well, they want to start licking you. Well,
yeah. Don't say that. We're going to be right back here on the West on the Bobby Dooley filling in for Phil Hendry show. And we just talked there with Hector Lone Pine or Lone Tree. I forget his name, but he is our security man at the gate at Western Estates. And I want to get into this whole idea that it's so authentic at Western Estates in terms of the subtropical and the different flora and fauna, that a little bit of that leprosy skin rot has turned up. And I want to talk a little bit about that.
Phil Hendry.
Well, that scared me, you know.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I belched. I'm so sorry. There's a problem. I don't know if it's a problem, but anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. My name is Bobby Dooley, and I am, a lot of times I fill in on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm a mother. I'm the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. I'm also the president of the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. I also support my husband in his business endeavor, which is Dooley Landscaping. Very successful. You had been working, Steve, before I said to you we're filling in for Phil Hendry. Tell everybody what you were doing.
Well, I do it. You know, I was over at the Blathenders.
You were at Susan and Carlotta Blathender. These are two women that live together. They have the same last name, but I suspect it isn't because they're sisters, although that's what they say, right?
Yeah, no, they say they're sisters.
So they want us to believe they're old mates. I think there's something else going on there. I think they're married.
What makes you think that?
Because they have the same last name. Wow.
Well, Bobby.
Well, what do you mean, Steve?
Well, that doesn't mean that they're married.
They have the same last name, don't they?
Yeah, they could be sisters.
I don't think so. I think it is, and we've got nothing against this, so long as... Excuse me for 1 minute. So long as, forgive me for doing that, but I believe in a very natural way of living. And if that means a belch or breaking wind, and I know it sounds juvenile and we don't allow juvenile behavior, but yes, I will. I don't restrain any physical aspect because I believe that winds up being injurious. And what?
What does that mean?
Injuring. It injures you.
Oh, okay.
So anyway... As I was saying, the Blatherdons, the only thing I care about at Western Estates, and I'm going to get into this with Marina Cupertino. Marina is the young lady that just bought in our townhome phase. I said to her, let's put you on the six-month evaluation. Okay. And she said, well, what is that? I said, you understand that we have Cocktails and Patio magazine. They are here regularly taking photographs because we live in such a beautiful community. But the minute someone shows up in one of the photographs and their nose, remember the three people?
Oh, I called them three little pigs.
That's not very adult, Steve.
I'm sorry.
They were the Robustellis, and they were the father, and there was the wife, and there was a daughter. Well, all three of them had the Italian nose.
Dude, is there one the Jewish nose?
No, it wasn't Jewish because they had the dark hair. Well, Jewish people have that too. Well, anyway, they had the big, you know.
Yeah, it was all, yeah. And that's when we had a sign, I know the air is free.
Yeah, we put a sign up and it basically said, hi, welcome to Western Estates. We know the air is free, but don't take advantage of it. And that's a nice way of saying... Please don't have a nose that's...
Yeah, if your nose is large, then please don't have it like that.
You don't have it that way when you come in and buy a home, yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, you got to go get a nose job.
Well, if you want to live at Western Estates, and you're in a photograph taken for Cocktails and Patio magazine, and there you are, and it's a profile shot, and it's three of you, you, your wife, your daughter, all in a profile from the largest to the shortest. So it's just one of those stark... Frank Lloyd Wright sort of silhouettes of just the nose. You have just taken very hard work done by a lot of people here at Western Estates and you've butchered it alive. You've carved it up and left it in the desert for buzzard meat. I'm sorry, I'm emotional.
It's okay, honey.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to cry. I work very hard. And when I see someone show up and they want to look at the bougainvillea model and they've got the big, big nose, you know?
Yeah, a lot of noses are big. Well, they come in here with a big, big.
Yeah, they got the really, like, remember in Clockwork Orange when he said the big, big money?
Yeah, over at Western States Week.
At Western States Week, the big, big nose. It's the same thing. You know, I'll joking with Steve, I'll say, and what would you do? You know, in Clockwork Orange, where they'll go, and what would you do with the big, big money? Remember when they did that, Steve?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So I'll go, and what would you do with your big, big nose? I'll do that. You know, I'll do that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, everybody? Do you think people are laughing at what I'm saying?
What?
Do you think people are laughing at what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, honey, they are.
Okay. So, anyway, yeah, so let's go to a phone call. I want to do a phone call. Don't we get to do those?
Yeah, let's go take a phone call. And I've been screening them and everything, and there's a guy on the phone now.
There's a guy on the phone now. And what is your name, sir?
Hi, my name is Ben. Is this Bobby Dooley?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Bobby. This is Ben calling from Riverside, California, and I was listening to your conversation about noses. And I thought I'd tell you that I've got a big one, and so does my wife, and so does my son. I've got two sons, and all of us are known for our big noses. And I wanted to ask you if I was to look, and I make a very sizable income. So I would think I have everything that qualifies for a purchasing of a home in your community. Now, I wanted to ask you exactly what kind of CC&Rs do you have there where you're going to keep me out from buying a home if I want to buy a home there, even though I have what you may consider a big nose.
Well, I'll tell you, Ben, because so much of the success of Western Estates has to do with the look of the people that live there, you see. So when they say, here's a photograph of Western Estates, and you see a young woman in a sort of a little wraparound sarong, which looks very South Pacific, and you see a young man who has worked out, and he's in his swim trunks, and he's got a beach ball that he's going to throw, and he's very handsome. Or you see a chiseled older man with the very distinguished graying reading a copy of, you know, an adult magazine, but it's very tasty. It could be a high society or...
Probably like a swank.
Swank?
Swank is not a tasteful magazine at all, I thought I'd tell you.
Well, I think beauty's in the eye. What do you mean? Because a lot of men lay around our pool with swank or high society. What else do they have, Steve?
Well, they had the lingerie party. They have Trantacular.
That's right, the Trantacular.
Okay, so transsexuals.
Well, what is that supposed to mean, Steve? Is that what that is?
Not that I know of. Trantacular is, I thought it was an auto magazine. I'll look into it.
They're talking about the Trans Am.
No, they're not. The Trantacular is a very well-known transsexual magazine. So you have guys laying around your pool, okay?
Please don't tell me my business, all right, Ben?
All right, I'm not trying to do that. But what I'm trying to ask you is, what is it that's going to keep me out of buying a home in your community? I have plenty of income, but I do have a big, big nose, as you called it. And you're going to keep me out of a community where the men lay around, as you say, near the pool all weekend, reading Swank and Trantacular Magazine, which is a magazine about men... excuse me.
Good for you, by the way, Ben. We encourage that.
I don't. I thought it was rude, and I'm sorry that I did that. You know what Trantacular is?
Trantacular Magazine, Steve, back me up on this, is a magazine, it's a hot-rodding magazine.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Well, your understanding is wrong because I've got a copy of Trantacular in front of me. I just went out to my garage. I've got a stack of them that are going to the... there's a paper drive at our church this weekend, coming up this weekend.
You're going to take... Oh, that's wonderful. So you recycle.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I recycle, all right. And I have an entire stack of Trantacular Magazine, and I'm thumbing through it. There is nothing in here about automobiles. I'm looking at men. I'm looking, basically, women with penises. That's what I'm looking at.
Well, what do you... So, do they own the car?
No, they don't own a car.
Bobby, you're trying to say... You're saying no Trantacular.
No, I do know Trantacular. As I said, I have a subscription, and I've got a stack of them in my garage. And what I'm trying to tell you is... There are pictures of women with breasts and beautiful hair and makeup and lingerie, but they have penises. Penises. Do you understand that?
I don't... I'm not...
Yeah, it's very bizarre, and also, I have to tell you, Ben, your car, whatever you're driving, is loud. It's going... So...
Well, you can avoid the topic if you want to, Ms. Dooley.
I'm not avoiding anything, sir. You asked me would I allow you to live in our community.
And why is that up to you?
Because I'm the president of the Homeowners Association.
And so you get to keep people out if their noses are too big?
I get to keep people out if the contour of the nose... If what you look like in silhouette destroys the ambiance and the overall effect. Okay, I don't know how else to describe that.
Okay, and the fact that I just want to, then I'll leave you alone. So my nose is really big. I don't think you're going to let me live in your home.
I don't...
I'm sorry, in your gated community.
I don't want you living in my gated... Well, why don't you send me a photograph of your nose?
Okay, I'll do that. I'll fax you a photograph.
Good. What else?
But if I do get to move in, can I bring my copies of Trantacular?
My understanding, it is a... I don't know what you mean about women with penises. I've
never seen that, and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Okay, Mr. Dooley.
Well...
Do you know what he's talking about, Steve?
No, I do not. No, I do not. Never have I...
You know what, Mr. Dooley, I won't break your cover, but I think you're lying. I think your wife... should know that you're lying. You know exactly what Trantacular magazine is, and you know what a tranny is, don't you? As a matter of fact, I'll bet money that you exchange $20 bills with a transsexual by way of lip kissing.
What did he just say, Steve?
I don't know. I that's terrible.
That was... Oh, my God. I love doing the talk radio programs that I do when I fill in for Bob Benersky. I filled in for the Kenyan, Wade Fitzgibbon. They call him the Kenyan. That's because he worked as a missionary for the Church of the Scientific Jesus. It wasn't Christian Science. It wasn't Christian Science.
Well, what was it?
It was... You remember when Wade Fitzgibbon went to Kenya as a missionary?
No, I do not.
Do you remember Wade Fitzgibbon?
No, I do not.
Do you remember Kenya? Did you ever hear me mention Kenya?
No, ma'am.
Now I know what he was talking about when he said, you're a liar. You're a thieving liar.
I'm not lying. I don't know about Kenya.
No, but you have seen transsexuals, haven't you?
No, ma'am.
We're going to take a break. Wade Fitzgibbon was a missionary for the Church of a Scientific Jesus. And I said, are you talking about Christian Science? They said, no. No, we're not. I said, are you talking about Scientology? They said, certainly not. I said, so I don't know this church. They said, it's the Church of Jesus, and he's a scientist. Something we'll get back to that. We'll talk about that. There's a lot to kick around tonight. The fat's in the fire. I'm Bobby Dooley.
Truth is our bitch.
Turn it down.
The Phil
Turn
Henry
the microphone
Show.
Down.
What?
Turn the microphone down, Steve. I just locked out. It sounded really good. And now you...
That's not our
film. So, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Obviously, I am not Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley. I'm filling in for Phil tonight. We were listening to the Art Bell was filling in. Who was the man that owned the steak restaurant?
That's Art Bell, I think.
Is it Art Bell?
Or I know.
Well, if the man, his name is Bell, and he was going on and on about something, I forget what. Oh, I know, the back entrance pass on the Phil Hendry website. And what he was saying was, please don't take that as a sexual thing. I know that sounds very childish, but you'd be surprised. There were phone calls that were coming in saying, you know, you're really rude, and I think
Oh, you know, it's Ted Bell.
Ted Bell, that's the man who has the meat in the mouth, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that's allowed, but he insists that he doesn't mean anything by that. And I said to him, I said, Mr. Bell, I have been around the block more than once, okay? I consider myself a lady, and I consider myself really a class act among women. I think that I am in the upper, I think I'm in the upper 3%, really, Steve.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And I know I'm your husband, but it don't matter. I think you got class.
Thank you, honey. You're so sweet. Yes, I agree I have class. I agree I'm in the upper 3%. But it doesn't mean I'm stuffy. But when Steve, or when Ted, rather, was on saying, I gotta get my meat in your mouth, I was absolutely horrified. Because I know that he's talking about the stay yake. Okay. But what would that do?
Yeah, even if you're talking about steak, somebody's going to think, yeah, I'll bet you're talking about a slab. Yeah. And then they're going to think it's about a real slab.
See, that's the double entendre. And that's why I don't like that kind of a radio. Because I might be very well-meaning when I say, are you going to go to Ted's
Steak shop.
Are you going to the Ted steak shop? Yeah. Well, I hear he puts it in your mouth. And they'll go, oh, God, are you, you know. And they'll leave, and you'll go, what did I do wrong? And they'll go, you were dirty. And you'll go, no, I wasn't. And they'll go, yes, you were. And you'll go, no, I wasn't. And they'll go, then what did you mean about laying the slab out? And they'll go, yeah. And it's just, you know.
Yeah, and then the whole thing's like in a big cluster bang.
Exactly. All right, let's take another phone call here on the Bobby Dooley filling in for Phil Hendry show. And what I wanted to do is take a phone call now from Gunther. Is that your name, Gunther? How are you doing?
Hello, Bobby. I'm good. Could you please, for the sake of people who are listening at home, could you maybe speak up a little bit, because it's very difficult to listen to you. That's my sales point, if you don't mind.
Did you say you want me to speak up, dear?
Yes, if you don't mind, because it's very difficult. A lot of people are listening to you.
Okay, Gunther. And what's the other point?
The other point I wanted to make was about slang. You mentioned the magazine Slang. I love this magazine. I know it's a bit of a degenerate magazine because they do show transsexual, but it's nowhere near as bad as Trentacular. So it's a subscription of Trentacular. Now, I also saw... Oh, my God.
What was that?
I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to track that down, because I heard him doing a German accent, then he dropped out of it, and...
I got to... Hold on. Yes? Yeah? Oh, okay, hold on. I can't talk. But my wife will get angry if I talk too long, and she doesn't know what's going on.
Who were you talking to?
Chris Norton is on... Chris Norton?
Oh, Chris Norton. Let me talk to Chris Norton. Chris Norton is a young man who calls the show. Chris?
Oh, yeah. Ms. Dooley, can I just, before I say anything, that was me doing the German accent. I'm sorry. And,
That was you that I just spoke with?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have been more... I was just playing around, and I'm sorry. I should have been more, you know, forthcoming and everything.
Well, what happened there?
Yeah, it's not like you went head-on into a steam engine.
No, I clipped the corner off. I was driving. I'm driving my friend's Road Warrior. What's the name of the? It's an SUV that is very sexy. And
you talking about a Land Rover or Range Rover?
Oh, okay, Range Rover. Yeah, I'm driving. Well, what happened was I was doing my German accent, and all of a sudden I clipped the one of the curbs there. I was going around a corner. I'm in Pasadena, and I was on my way over to. Friend's restaurant. It's got a bar and grill, and there's a band playing there tonight that he wants, you know, to check out his girlfriend's front of band. I said, well, you know, I'll go and I'll see your girlfriend, and I guess I don't want to bore you with that.
Yeah, you know, you are known, Chris, as a little bit of a horn dog. We don't need to listen to all of that. So let me ask you something. You were doing a German accent, and then you clipped the corner of what?
I took a corner at Lake and Colorado Boulevard.
And what was that?
Colorado Boulevard.
Talking about Boulevard.
What is a Boulevard?
Colorado Boulevard.
Colorado Boulevard, okay.
Yeah, and I just sort of, I wanted to comment, though, on Swang magazine, because...
Well, the last guy said Swang. Isn't that interesting?
The last guy was me. I was trying to tell you.
Yeah, the last guy was him, Bobby. He was gone.
So you were monkeying around on the phone.
Yes, I was calling up just to see if I could get away with a German accent. And while I was doing a German accent, I clipped the road, and I clipped it.
Well, I don't understand. So anyway.
Yeah. So what I wanted to comment on was the I wanted to call and comment on the sexuality.
What are you trying to talk about?
What do you want to talk about, honey?
I forget. You were talking about something.
Well, let me put you on hold, okay?
Yeah, but I...
Chris Norton is on hold. He doesn't remember anything. I often wonder, he spends so much time on that bar stool at the Rusty Pelican, I wonder if he has any of his faculties, Steve, you know?
He drinks a lot of... He drives a lot of Captain Morgan's and Coke. That's called a Ted.
Oh, the Ted. That Ted Bell is a mental midget. I know. You tell Chris, let's talk about Swang. I think that's... Or I mean Swank.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Chris, you want to talk about Swang? I mean, yeah, Swank. Well, you call it Swang. Yeah, you do. Anytime you call up, you talk about Swang.
Bobby Dooley, and I'm here with my husband, Steve, and we've been filling in tonight. We've had an awful lot of fun, Steve.
Yeah, it's been a long day, because you didn't even tell people about how you'd done the podcast.
We did, yes, you're right. We did a podcast with Chris D'Elia, and Chris is one of the stars of Whitney, and he's a stand-up comedian. I don't know, why do they call them stand-up comedians?
Because they're standing up.
Well, I know they're standing. Is that why they call them that?
Yeah, I think on the stand-up.
Well, so what if they sat down? Are they a sat down comic? I understand why they say it, but it kind of sounds dumb if you think about it the way that I just said it. Is it a sat down comedian, you know?
Well, Bobby, they're not going to do that.
Well, why aren't they going to do that? I mean, this is the arguments that we have, you know?
Well, I mean...
Steve, hold on. Steve and I have these arguments. Why aren't they going to do it, Steve?
Because if the guy is a sat down comic... That defeats its own purpose.
Well, no, because the man's... Are you saying because comedy's only funny if they're standing up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that sounds crazy.
Well, I don't see that that's necessarily the case, that they have to stand up to get the laugh. Maybe it's... Do you think it's because the laugh, the oxygen helps the laugh? I don't know. I'm really asking you.
I don't know, but I think... It's not as funny if the guy is sitting in a chair as if the guy is standing up. And you may have something about oxygen keeping a laugh, holding a laugh back.
No, no, I'm saying if they don't have enough oxygen because they're sitting down, you know?
Yeah, that may be it.
Well, I don't know, but Chris Norton is back with us. Chris is a young man from Hermosa Beach, California. Chris, you've been on this program before with Mr. Henry. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California.
But you also spend an awful lot of time at the singles bars, right?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not trying to be, and I'll say this as respectfully as I can. I mean, I'm not trying to be no dirtbag. A dirtbag is not a dirtbag, but...
A dirtbag? Is that what you were trying to say?
No, I think I crossed it.
Yeah, you crossed dirt and douche.
That's it. I crossed up dirt and douche. I got douche. Or maybe I got dude. I don't want to be a dude bag.
Well, what is a dude bag? I don't understand.
He's crossing up dirt and douche.
Yeah.
Well, then don't cross it up and do it like a... Well, I better not say it because they got angry at me the last time.
You're talking about doing it like a white man?
Yes, but they don't want me to say that.
Oh, my God, lady. That's racism that Mr. Henry doesn't... I know, Mr. Henry, not going to allow that.
Well, no, I am not a racist. I beg your pardon.
You said do it like a white man.
Well, I'm just saying... All right, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't mean to say that. What I meant to say was do it good. you know?
Okay, what I'm trying to say is this. A dude bag, shoot. If you're a dude bag, you're going to say, if you go into a bar, and I love to go into the Rusty Pelican, a lot of my friends are in there, a lot of chicks that I know, a lot of dudes that I know are in the Rusty Pelican, and on Friday night, Saturday night, that's probably one of the best places to go to, you know, to touch, you know, what we call, you know, roll a tang cigarette, you know, and just go ahead and put your lips on it.
What is rolling a tang cigarette? What is that?
Well,
what are you laughing at, Steve?
Nothing.
What are you laughing at, Steve?
Because he's talking about poontang.
Yeah, that's what it basically is, poontang.
Well, I've never heard that word. What is poontang?
Well, poontang is like in the movie Saving Private Ryan, when the guy goes, "If I die for a word, by word, poontang."
No, it's a full jacket, I think.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's called full jacket. It's poon. Well, it's not poon. It's poontang. But I can't get the words to come out the way I want them to.
Well, what is the problem?
I don't know. I'm feeling nervous. What time do you have?
I've got, on the West Coast, we have 11, isn't it after midnight, Dan, on the West Coast? Oh my God, we've only done 1 hour? Oh, that's, I thought the night was flying along, and it's not. This is the longest, most boring night I think I've ever had in my life. I was enjoying myself until I realized we had 2 more hours to do.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, I think I'm going to blow my brains out. I really think...
I mean, Miss Dooley, can I finish what I'm saying?
Talk to my husband. I've got to get out of here.
Where are you going?
I got to go. Oh, God. That is the worst news. We've got 2 hours of this sickness to get through.
All right, go ahead. I'm Steve. Mine's called Steve Dooley. Not mine's called Steve Dooley, but this is called Steve Dooley. Or no. Oh, God.
Okay, well, let me just tell everybody. My name's Chris Norton, and Ms. Dooley had... She's probably throwing up. I don't know what she's doing. But I was talking about Swang Magazine, and Swang Magazine...
Are you talking about Swang?
I'm talking about Swang, no.
Yeah, you said Swang.
No, I said Swang, man. You know, don't... Dude, just because you're, you know, I don't like you, man. I don't like you or your old lady. The two of you are strictly weird. And it's Swang Magazine. I read it on the airplane. I forget it.
Okay, I'm Steve Dooley. We got a problem, and the problem is this. My wife thought that she'd done 2 hours of radio, and she only done one. And why is that? Because her mind is going. And I think it's because Mr. Henry couldn't do the show tonight on account of he is tired. And I understand that, and everybody knows about it. But my wife, Bobby, she's tired, too. She went and she did a Chris Delunia. Anyway, the guy on Whitney, she interviewed him, and then she interviewed a bunch of stuff. That's come back here. And here she thought the night was flying by, and it's only been 1 hour, and she's probably in the bathroom right now crying and retching it up. Probably puking and probably retching up blood, too. But I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. And anyway... I love her very much. I think she's done a great job, and just pray for her. Well, she's okay. Well, here she comes now.
Yeah, let me do it, Steve. Get out of the chair.
Well, people let know.
No, I appreciate that, Steve. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I went into the bathroom, and I had a big cry. I honestly thought that we'd done 2 hours of radio, and we'd only done one. So that means that a night that I thought was going by with such ease is actually crawling by, and I don't know if I can stand it.
Well, you want me to get Mr. Henry?
No, I'll continue with this living hell. But I love being, don't take me wrong, I really like being on the radio. So we had Chris Norton talking about Swank Magazine, and I don't know what else. There's a Preparation H commercial I could do. What should I do?
Tell people about how they can get rid of it.
Well, I have been doing a little... sales work myself on behalf of Phil Hendry. I spoke with the representative of Preparation H. Now, I understand, before you say anything, I understand that it's a very, very sensitive sort of a product to advertise. Because there's a lot of juvenile thinking people, and they'll go, ha, 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 ha. Preparation H. But I said to the man at the Preparation H company, I said, let's kick this around and see if it actually goes through the goalposts for 3 points. He said, hit me. What if I, Bobby Dooley, what if I personally did the pitch for Preparation H? I'm a woman. I'm not a man, so it's not going to sound juvenile. I can sell it as a mother, as someone who's concerned for her sons, and it will be adult, and well, his eyes lit up like he just stuck his finger right up the rear end of an electric kangaroo. You know what I mean, Steve?
Yeah.
His eyeballs came out of his skull about a half an inch, lit up and said tilt on both of them, and I distinctly heard one of those old, you know, those 1920 car horns. Aruga, aruga.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he loved the idea.
He loved the idea. I mean, and he sat there with the eyeballs bulged out, the lips turned bright red and flamed out, his tongue rolled out of his head like a roll of like a sail slip. And he's going, aruga, aruga. And then he hit the floor, and they couldn't get him. He wasn't conscious for about 20 minutes. And I thought, oh, my God, maybe something bad really happened, you know?
Yeah, what happened, though?
He just laid there like a jackball, and then they finally kicked him in the, well, they had to kick him in the you-know-what, and he goes, ow, ow, ow. Some guys fake it, you know, and I don't like it the way they fake it. I don't know what's wrong with this television screen. But my face is so... Oh, thank God.
What happened?
The Phil TV screen, my face was so up... It looked horrid. I could see the pores in my nose. I'm very frightened. Let's take a break. I'm Bobby Dooley. And you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. With me, Bobby Dooley.
And me, Steve Dooley.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about how Preparation H may just be a new advertiser on The Phil Hendry Show. If I've got anything to say about it, if it sits well with me, huh, Steve?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Huh? Steve?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Truth is our bitch. The Phil
okay.
Hendry Show.
Okay. My name is Bobby Dooley, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And before we bring on our next guest, a man that you all know very, very well, I want to get something set up here, because I know he's not paying for the airtime, but just as a way of honoring him and saying we're very grateful that he called in, here is the theme of the jingle. It's not... Steve, turn off the...
I was just listening to Drake.
Turn off Drake. This is a talk station. People don't know from Drake. Do you understand?
Yeah, I like...
I don't care. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody... The talk audience doesn't. And they don't like it because it's black.
It's what?
The talk radio audience doesn't like black music. All right. Let me welcome in... It's Ted... hold on for a minute. Why am I hearing my...
It's all right. It slapped you.
Oh, it didn't slap. It's called slap back. All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Bell.
Ted's
Bell.
Of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell, and everybody in Beverly Hills knows who I am. Even if Bobby got a little confused, I certainly understand. Come on down to Ted Bell. Because we've got the lean loin, the pork loin, because we are in business with pig fellows of Pacoima. And I want everybody to know, Bobby, the pig fellows people. What are you doing? Hold on.
Why are you playing that again?
You got to play it again.
No, you don't have to play it again.
Yeah, you do, because you went pig fellow. Nobody can hear it.
Excuse me, is that your husband?
Yes, it's my husband, Steve.
All right, hey, Steve? Steve?
Yes, sir?
Kill the music. Because I want to, I think I just said kill the music, and I don't hear anybody having any respect for me and the respect that I need and the respect that I want in my commercials. So as I asked you to kill the music, and you didn't kill the music.
Well, the music wasn't over with. It wasn't wet.
The music wasn't wet. What does that mean, the music wasn't wet?
He's making a joke about the guys that work in your kitchen.
Let me tell you something, young man, Mr. Dooley. You know what? I'm Ted Bell. I don't run some landscaping business. I've got a restaurant where very important people come in to break bread, to have a drink, and to get big business deals concluded.
Well, Mr. Bell, I know a lot of guys go out on the grass and they talk about business.
Oh, well, I mean, I ain't got nothing on you. The guys are standing on the grass talking about business. I bet you they walk down a row of petunias and smell the flowers, too, huh? But it ain't the same thing. Now, Ms. Dooley, I'm on the program here to talk about, my restaurant and the loin that I wanted to tell you about, Pink Fellows. And this guy is...
Steve, why don't you just back off? What is Pig Fellows, Ted?
Pig Fellows is a new working agreement that Ted DiBeverly's... Pig Fellows is a new working agreement that Tezzy's... My name isn't Desi, is it?
Is what?
Is my name Desi? No, it's Ted. I keep wanting to say it. Desi's of Beverly Hills.
I don't know what that's about. That's...
Well, the husband of yours said that all the guys who work in my kitchen are wet, and all of a sudden I'm thinking...
I don't think Steve meant to say that.
Well, I mean, isn't it true?
I thought I asked you to shut up.
Please don't talk to him that way.
I am going to talk to him that way. I asked you to shut up, Dooley. I asked you to shut up, okay?
Yeah, whatever.
No, not whatever. I want you to shut up, because this is my time to talk about Pink Fellows. I've got a working arrangement with one of the big pork suppliers in the San Fernando Valley. It's Pig Fellows out of Pacoima. And it's got a great advertising opportunity. There's a lot of hooks, what we call a lot of hooks in the advertising business. So you say, well, and by the way, the lean loin from Pig Fellows of Pacoima, because at Pig Fellows, you know what we say, stay away from the garbage. Stay away from the garbage, slap. Stay away from the garbage, slap. See?
I don't know what that is.
I do.
Well, I don't want to hear about it from you. Ms. Dooley, I am imploring you to keep that guy away from me because it's going to get bad.
Steve, just back off.
Well, I got a right to the Constitution.
You got a right to the Constitution? Is that what I heard the guy just say?
He's talking about freedom of speech.
Yeah, not on my segment, you don't.
Well.
No. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
About what?
When I just go, God, Lord, Lord.
Oh, you're starting to sound like John Huston in Chinatown. Stop that.
Well, that's how I feel. I feel like John Huston. I feel like I just saw Faye Dunaway with her eyeball hanging out. How does that grab you? The way I've been treated on this program tonight, I'm leaning back in a Duesenberg with my eyeball hanging out. That's how I've been treated on this program tonight by you, your husband, your three sons who aren't there.
I think you have just insulted my family, and we did nothing.
Look, Bobby.
No, hold on. We did nothing to incur that wrath. Now, Ted, you're talking about Pig Fellows of Pacoima. I know that they supply pork. We have been doing with Pig Fellows we've been dealing with them for a long time. They've got some of the finest chops that money can buy. I know that.
They've got four kinds of pork chop, and we've ordered up all of them. They do three kinds of pork loin. They've got the pork, everything that is pork. And Pig Fellows, as I said, this is a great advertising opportunity.
Well, I just didn't understand. What do you mean? What did you mean when you said stay away from the garbage slap?
Because in the movie Goodfellas, Pauly says to Henry Hill, I don't want you fooling with the garbage, meaning heroin. And he slaps him in the face. All right? We can take that and apply that to Pig Fellows, only we're talking about bad pork, you know?
God, man, talk about bad pork. Guy's going to have the runs.
Would you shut up? Tell him to shut up or I'm driving down there and shutting him up.
Steve.
God.
Yeah, that's right. I will get in my car. It's warming up right now. Hey, Jerry.
I want Armando to warm up my... Tell him to warm up the SL. Yeah, tell him to warm up my SL. I want it warming up, and I want it ready for me to jump. Don't open the door. No, I want to leap into it. Did you hear what I just said, Ms. Dooley?
I heard you say something stupid about leaping into your car.
Stupid? Is that what you call it? Excuse me, but I told the valet, Armando, I want my car warming up. The car is now running. The hood, the top is down. And I said I want the keys left in it, and I said, get away from it. Just everybody get clear of my car. Because on a minute's notice, I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. If I get any trouble at all, I'm running out of this restaurant. God, what? You know, I was feeling so good before I called.
Oh, my God, Ted Bell's crying.
Ha, ha, ha. Ted Bell's crying.
I'll kill you, Dooley. I'll kill you. Now, if I get pissed off enough, I'm going to run out of this restaurant, leap into my Mercedes, because the top is down, the keys are in the ignition. I will leap into it, and even before my ass hits the leather of the seat, the car's moving forward. All right? You understand how fast that is?
Well, I think that sounds stupid. I don't think you can do that.
Oh, really? Oh man. No. Okay, goodbye.
Do you think he's...
Yeah, he said he's going to come down and kick my ass. I didn't do nothing.
Well, Ted, if you're on your way down here and you think you're going to come busting into my studio, I don't think it's going to happen. I just won't allow it to happen. And I'll bet you anything that you probably tripped and fell and broke your head open or something as you were trying to leap into your
Mercedes.
The Mercedes that you have. I'm Bobby Dooley.
Yeah! Ow.
Phil Hendry.
Everyone, my name is Bobby Dooley, and I'm very grateful to be filling in for Phil Hendry tonight. It does fall to me to give you a little bit of news. It's not bad news so much as it could have been, and it gave us all a little bit of a scare. Ted Bell, who was getting a little bit emotional, and I guess I can understand, apparently did make good on the threat that he had his car being warmed up out in the parking lot there at Ted's of Beverly Hills by one of the valets, right, Steve?
Yeah, Armando.
Armando. Now, he said he wanted the car being warmed up. He said he wanted the top down on it so he could dive into the driver's seat. He wanted everyone cleared away from it. And he was going to jump into the car and take off and come to my home and confront Steve. Well, there's a couple of things that he didn't take into consideration. We're not at our house.
No, we're at the radio studio.
We're at the radio studio. That's number one. So I would have laughed until I stained a little bit. And forgive me for saying that, Steve. I know you don't like me to say that.
Well, it's a little, you know, if you're peeing green that day.
Well, we don't have to tell. Oh, my God, Steve.
I'm sorry.
In any event, God.
I'm sorry, but you do.
Well, do I tell people if you pee green? In any event, I would have laughed until, yes, there was staining. But I'm certainly not going to impose upon you and tell you what color the stain is. You are really gross.
Bobby.
No, you are really gross. All right. So what happened, though, was this. We're not there. Apparently, when he was talking to Armando as he was coming to, because that's what happened, he knocked himself out, Ted Bell. As he was diving into his car, he remembered that we're not at home, we're at the radio studio. And it took his mind off long enough not to notice that Armando was moving his car. So two things were happening. The car was being moved, and he didn't get a real good dive into the car because he realized we weren't at the house. We're at the radio studio. He wound up diving instead into the back end of a garbage truck.
Yeah, and it was there, and they had the truck cruncher on.
And they had the thing that crushes the garbage on. Now, apparently Armando had moved his car to make room for this garbage truck. Ted looked back at me as if to say, you dirty so-and-so, you know, or he was looking back at the restaurant, she's not at home.
Yeah, and so he didn't see the garbage truck.
So he dove into the garbage truck. The squisher was on.
Yeah.
And so I'm led to believe that we have some of the audio. Can we bring that up?
Well, it's got to be kind of grotesque and everything, and the people that hope they understand about it.
No, I
got to
go with it right now. I got my car warmed up. Get out of my way. Everybody clear out. Oh, my God. Wait a second. They're not at home. They're at the radio studio. Yeah, you loud. That stings.
All right. Was that it?
Yeah.
Now, they got him out of the garbage compactor, didn't they?
Not a garbage. It's a squisher.
What difference does it make, Steve? It's a squisher. They don't call it that, do they?
Well, it's in the back of a garbage truck, not same as a pack. As a palm factor, or no, it's not the same as a palm factor.
As the palm factor?
Yeah, the garbage palm factor.
You mean compactor, not a palm factor.
Oh, okay. Thought it was. Well, you're talking about masturbation.
I'm not talking about masturbation right now. What an absolute blithering imbecile you are, Steve. And I love you so very much.
Thank you.
I really do, but... The palm factor, where did you get that? That's really... So, Ted Bell he was compacted. He's going to be fine, but there was a bit of disturbance there at the very... I don't even know what I'm doing anymore here on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't think Phil should have had me fill again for him tonight because it's really... really bad. Ted, take it away.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Don't dig a deep of visit. Don't dig a deep of visit. That's easy. Okay.
Thank you, Ted.
We want to put it in your mouth.
That was Ted. He'd been squished.
Yeah, you couldn't hear it on account of that.
His head got pinched in. But he'll be fine. The doctor tells me that it's like something that's resilient. And thank God Ted's head is... He doesn't have a head that's made of styrofoam, but apparently his head does bounce back. That's what the doctor told me anyway. I was on the phone with him. He wasn't horny. He was on the horn.
Well, what does that mean?
He was on the phone.
Oh, okay.
And he horned in. No, he was on the phone. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm Bobby Dooley. I want to tell you all about the Phil Hendry website. You will notice, for those of you who are BSPs, that means backstage poob, or pub, the backstage poon.
No, backstage pass.
Backstage pass, I'm sorry. You'll notice that the Phil Hendry podcasts that have been so popular on iTunes and other places, these are now only for subscribers. Only for subscribers. Now, the last 25 are still available on iPoon, but they are not what?
Not iPoon, it's iTunes.
On iTunes. The last 25 are available on iTunes, but all of the ones before that, which are about 120, I think, are now strictly on the website, the Phil Hendry Show website, for Backstage Pass members only. So it's very, very important for you to remember that. In order to get the daily Phil Hendry Show, not daily, in order to get the Phil Hendry Show Legacy podcast that's been on iTunes, that's free, you now have to have a backstage pass. And, of course, you need to have a backstage pass to get the daily podcast. All of these podcasts are driving me crazy. I don't know what they mean. And you also get so much more there at the Phil Hendry Show podcast. So whatever you do, make sure you get over to the Phil Hendry podcast real soon. We have just had such a ball filling in for Phil Hendry over the years. being a part of his great radio show. We really feel for Phil, how he's had to struggle over these last several years. It's not been a great way for him to say goodbye to the radio industry, but you deal the cards what you got. You dealt it, you know.
Dealt it.
Right. You deal the card that got dealt. No, you play the card.
That got played.
Right. You play the card that you played. And he's done the best he can. We're very happy to be filling in for him tonight, but he was at home. Frankly, he's very sick tonight. But not sick physically. He's sick mentally. He said he was, quote, sick of it. And I asked him, what did he mean by that? And he just looked at me and then broke down and started crying again and buried his head in a pillow. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's biting a pillow.
He's not biting a pillow, Steve.
Well.
He's just said he's... So he also recommends that you watch a YouTube clip featuring Danny Baker. Danny was a British disc jockey who was fired from his job in November of 2012. And Phil recommends you watch this clip because it's just like America. Danny Baker is being inducted into the Britain Hall of Fame about a week after he got fired. And Phil says that's just about where it's at. And I said, well, Phil, they're going to induct you into the Hall of Fame. And he said, I hope and pray to Jesus Christ himself that that never happens.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't ask him, but I think it's because he...
You don't want to be in?
I don't think he wants to have anything to do with it, yeah.
No, because he's afraid he's going to get fired?
He's not afraid of being fired. He told me tonight that he wished it would have happened, but...
So that's kind of weird. He doesn't want to be in the Hall of Fame, and he hopes and prays he gets fired.
Yeah, he's sort of... He wants to get into the podcast thing, as he said, so he can start pulling a paycheck. I'm Bobby Dooley, and that's weird. You're going to have to call Philip and ask him about that. I'm Bobby Dooley, and we're just going to do this for a few more minutes because I did streak when I laughed at one of the previous bits. I need to change some underwear. And we also need to check on our dog Aloysius and our cat Berlanger. And how is Berlanger?
I don't know. I got on the phone to say, I'm going to talk to Berlanger, but the lady sitting on the cat who sat on it, she said she almost sat on the cat. I said, no, you're supposed to be cat sitting, but doesn't mean you sit on it.
Let me talk to her. Is she that?
Yeah, here.
No, don't put her on the air. Hello? Hi. Were you just talking to my husband? Are you the lady that's cat sitting? You don't sit on the cats. You don't sit on them. When you cat sit, you don't sit on them. I don't care if you don't like cats, I don't want you in my home. What? Berlanger, that's the name of our cat. Well, I don't care if you don't know what it means. It doesn't matter to me whether you know what it means. That's his name. I don't care if she... Okay, so she's a female. We call him a him. Let me clue you in on something, honey. What's your name? Amanda. Let me tell you something, Amanda. My name's Bobby Dooley. That's my cat. If you sit on it, I'm going to come back to my home, and I'm going to go looking for you, and it's not going to be pretty. Yeah. Yeah. You got it. You got it. What's your name? Amanda. Amanda what? Bub? Butt. Butts? That figures. I said that figures. I said your name is Amanda Butts. That figures. Like you've got a big one. Do you have a big... Well, honey, that's my cat. I don't care if you don't like cats. You shouldn't be cat-sitting. Who did? Well, you can tell him to rot. Is that the man at the cat-sitting place? Yes, that's who I talked to. Jerry? Oh, excuse me. Gerard. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you sound like a slut. Yes, you do. Well, maybe I do, but you... Guess what? I have the big home. You're the one that's probably going to be hitchhiking home tonight. Oh, your boyfriend's going to pick you up. Well, I hope he's got the right kind of car, because we won't... He's not getting in the community. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. Hang up on her.
Yeah, I got to hang up on it.
Hang up on her, Steve. What a cow.
That's lady sitting. She's sitting on a cat.
No, I told her you don't sit on cats. I said your cat's sitting, and she gave me some lip. And I said, well, good luck hitchhiking home. She said her boyfriend's picking her up. And I said, well, he better be in the right kind of car because we're not letting him in if he isn't.
I think he drives a two-tone that's jacked up in the rear.
Well, if her boyfriend drives a jacked-up two-tone Chevy, guess what, honey? Not getting in tonight.
No, we don't let no two-tone beaner way. No beaner mobile.
Don't say beaner mobile. Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be racial.
My husband didn't mean that. We're very, very sorry. Yes, we do let beaner... Well, not beaner. We do let... We let any car with the big airplane meets on the back... Well, I shouldn't have said that. You are allowed in. Let's take a break, okay? If she calls back, I want to talk to her.
Well, you sure? She's got to call back with how much we owe her.
With how much we owe her after she sat on Berlanger? No. I'm Bobby Dooley. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
You got a two-tone.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What's your boyfriend's name? What's your boyfriend, Edgar? Well, if he got a two-tone, if he jacked up...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and you know, I'm Bobby Dooley, and I've just so enjoyed filling in for Phil. We've got a couple of emergencies that we have to take care of. One of them, we do want to see how Ted Bell is doing. The last word we received was that he had somehow fallen into a garbage truck, and the garbage truck squishing machine or the compactor pinched his head off or something. I don't know. I also want to sit down with my husband, Steve, and see what our options are with this woman that was cat-sitting. I'm very disturbed by these people. Who are they?
It's called a cat.
What does that mean, it's called cat? Berlanger is my boy. And if anything...
Oh, Bobby, the cat's going to be okay.
If anything happens to that cat...
Well, no, that's fine.
Well, you said this tub of guts was sitting on it.
Well, I didn't know she was a tub.
I do. I saw her when she came through the door tonight. And she's looking the place over and, oh, well, and where do you keep the cheese? And where do you keep the dip? She's asking me about all this disgusting food that she wants to shovel down. And I said, well, what do you mean, where do we keep our cheese? Are you bringing your own cheese? She said, yes. And she made a motion. Two guys came in. They were carrying the big cooler.
Oh, that's what those guys were.
Yes. And she said, where do you keep your cheese? I said, in the refrigerator. She said, thank you. And she gave she whistled out the door, and two guys came in wearing ice cream man hats, carrying those big coolers.
Well, there was that Tillamook.
I don't know what their name was.
That's cheese.
Oh, that's... Yeah. So anyway, I said, what do you think you're doing? And she said, I'm loading up. And I said, God. I said, by the look of your ass, it looks like you have been loading up. And that's when she said, that's dirty pool. And I said, well, if you want to talk dirty pool, then let's talk about you using the pool with your brat. Because she has that kid.
Oh, that kid, yeah.
No one can filth up a pool the way this kid she's got with the diaper. God.
Well, why does the kid change a diaper?
Children don't change their own diapers, Steve, okay?
Yeah, well, she doesn't do it.
I know she doesn't do it. And I had to tell her. I said, you think the baby's going to change its own diaper? And she said, why wouldn't it? And I said, you are so, 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 so dumb, 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 dumb. And I might have even thrown in an F. You are so F... Oh, never mind.
That lady's just, she's all dumbed out and everything.
Some people just don't know how to behave. And the lady that was sitting on my cat tonight, Berlanger, and call her up, Phil. Call her up, Steve. I have a...
What are you afraid of, Bobby?
If we have to pull If I've got to pull a dead cat out of that woman's ass crack.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God!
Well, call her up. I don't know what's going on. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm awfully sorry.
Hello? Hello?
Calm down, Steve. Forgive me, ladies.
Hello? Yeah. Is this Cat? Is this Cat? Cat Incorporated. Yeah, I'm Mr. Dooley. Where's my cat? Where's my cat? Did you check your butt crack? You did. Is there a cat in it? It's none of my business. I want to know if my cat's there.
Tell her we don't care. Hi. I don't care who else is in there. Is my cat? Okay, good. Thank you. Did we disturb you? Forgive me. You and your boyfriend? You better not be in our bed. Oh, God. She's in the bed.
Give me that phone. Get out of our bed. You got your boyfriend up there. I know the cat wasn't, but if now the boyfriend... Get out of here. Get out of here. I know I'm not there, but I'm just saying, get out of here. I know you're not here, but I'm saying get out of here, meaning there.
Give me the phone. Hello, that's my husband. He's freaking out. Where is my cat Berlanger? And you did check. Did you bend over? Did you look at a mirror? Did you look in a mirror? How are you going to see if you don't have a mirror handy? You reached up and... Oh!
Give me that phone. How dare you? You must be an animal. Have a cat wedged? Yes, I do know what it's like, because when I was a little tiny baby in my mama's cradle, she'd rock me in those cotton fields back home. Oh, yeah, that's a song, I mean.
Give me the phone, will you? My husband, he grew up in Wisconsin, and he thinks it was the South. What? So you see Berlanger? Does he look dazed? Because I want to know if you sat on him by mistake and he was wedged. Yes, I think you'd lie to me. You are all liars. I know all you people at Cat Incorporated. I've dealt with you before. You're the crawling scum of the earth. How much do we owe you? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. No, wait, hold on. Check the mirror one more time. Okay, never mind. She hung up.
Is Berlanger okay?
Steve, would you get a grip? I'm the one that... Yes, he's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Steve and I had a flashback to a time when we saw a cattail hanging out of Steve's mother's...
Out of the bottom of her skirt.
Yes. She had sat on Fluffoid, which was our first cat, and all we saw was the tail.
She's okay, though, huh?
Yes, she's okay. Or he's... It's a she, did you know that?
No, I thought it was a he.
It's a she. I'm Bobby Dooley, and have a great rest of tonight. The next hour is going to be Phil from one of his earlier hours. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, I'm Bobby Dooley. Berlanger is okay, everyone. Yay. Is that her? Hello? I hope you die.
Phil Henry.
I'll send you and your husband to hell on a shutter.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. A few months ago, and it might even be verging on a year ago, we had a man on our program, Mr. Charlie LaFountain, who's a grandfather and a grandfather and a husband, lives out in the an area here in our area of the world called the Inland Empire. We're in the L.A. area. The Inland Empire is out in the interior of the state in Southern California. They're from Riverside, and he was talking about his granddaughter. Both he and his wife have guardianship over this child, and what they did to protect her from predators. And it's now been a year, and we're going to talk with him a little bit more about this program. And by the way, he was telling us during that broadcast that he had intimidated himself some predators and individuals that they thought were unsavory. I must tell you that we're going to be talking to him this evening from he is going to be talking to us by way of a cell phone aboard a DC-10. And this is, the story itself is kind of interesting, and I don't know if you can hear me. Charlie?
I can hear you fine, Bill. This is Charlie the Fountain here. And, we are in a DC-10, which is a passenger aircraft, really, from the 1940s. And my company has recommissioned this particular DC-10 to inaugurate these nostalgia flights over Arizona and New Mexico. In the hopes it will attract people, tourists, to enjoy the old ways of flying. And we have even a stewardess, a flight attendant, they were called stewardesses in the old days, serving drinks. It's an experience we hope people enjoy. We happen to be, my wife and I, on board this evening as we're flying our way to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So it's a DC-3.
It's a DC-3, though. It's a two-engine. The interesting part of flying a DC-3 is you have airplane buffs out there. The DC-3 has two wheels, and so the tail sits on the runway. And in order for the aircraft to get altitude, as it proceeds on the runway, all of the passengers and most of the weight aboard the aircraft must be shifted to the front of the aircraft so that you've got as much weight as possible off the tail section. And that way the tail is going to lift off the ground, and then the passengers can move back to their seats. But it's just part of the interesting experience of flying one.
You know, I flew in a DC-3 once myself.
Did you?
Yeah, it was from Miami to Key West, and it was fun. One of the things about it is you're not very high, right?
You can get, the elevation can get 10 to 15,000 feet. Generally, we will have it at about 1,000 feet or less, just so people can look at the scenery and
yeah, because we flew over we flew out of Miami and went right down the Keys.
Well, it must have been gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, and we're flying over the Keys, looking at the ocean, and landed at Key West, and it was a lot of fun. But we're here to talk a little bit about your granddaughter, right?
Well, yes, we are. And I apologize because we had this scheduled. And I was told by Jim Sebastian, who is my vice president of operations, that we were going to have this flight this evening. And so I'm hopeful, Phil, that it won't be too distracting.
Not at all, sir. So your granddaughter, who was and still is in your home, and you have guardianship over this young lady, and by the way, what is her name?
My granddaughter's name is Roberta, and she is a 14 now. She was 13 when I first talked to you about her.
But why do you and your wife have not custody?
It's guardianship, and custody is the same thing. We've not adopted her, but we are the official guardians of this child. And the reason why is because her mother had a series of episodes. Her mother has a mental condition, a psychotic condition, I guess, a schizophrenia.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, she's been hospitalized. We have her on medication now. She's an outpatient, but we don't feel that this is the time for her and her daughter to be reunited, although they see each other. I felt it was best that we took the child in hand and had her in our home, because there's no telling, you know, if you've got a parent that is, is not healthy enough to take care of a child.
No explanation necessary, sir. My hat is off to you and your wife. At this time in your life, any grandparent that takes a child in and raises a child, man, they've got endless respect for me.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil. It's a heck of a thing. There's no question about it, having to take in your own children are unable to be parents, and then you have to take in these children. And more, it seems to be the case with a lot of people in my generation, my age group, that we're having to raise kids because people your age, no comment on you, Phil, but people your age are just not capable of, there's a lot of drug use, there's a lot of drug addicts, there's a lot of, alcoholism, there's violence and mental illness, and it's a horrible situation. So I took my granddaughter and I said that we're going to keep this child safe.
All right, now I had you on my show last year, Charlie.
Yes.
Talking about what your philosophy was in keeping kids safe from predators. And at that time, you said that it was a simple matter of making the child as unattractive as possible. And you know you took a lot of static.
Listen, Phil, if there's one thing I've taken in my life, it's a lot of static. But Charlie the Fountain stands by what he says and what he does. And I would tell you that when Charlie the Fountain says something, Charlie the Fountain is going to stone still next to what I say. And a lot of people say that that's inflexible. I think a lot of people say that it's almost unhealthy. But I call myself a cigar store Indian. And the reason why I call myself that is because once I say something, then I'll stand next to that idea as if I'm a cigar store Indian. You can't move me. You could take an axe and chop at me. And, of course, I'm being figurative here.
No, but I get your idea.
Yeah, right. And so I am the philosophical. That's what the guys call me because we meet every morning, myself, and there's about three or four other guys that I know from the neighborhood and so forth, and we meet every morning at Denny's. We have the slab, whatever they call that, breakfast, and they say, here comes Charlie, the cigar store Indian. And I say, you know what, I take that as a compliment.
All right, so tell me about your granddaughter.
I'm sorry to go on, Phil. I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I think it's cool. You're meeting with your buddies in the morning. Tell me about your daughter, your granddaughter, and what you did and what you talked to us about and how it went.
Well, the philosophy is a very simple one, Phil. You take a child like this, and she's not old enough to be dressing up and going out in this nonsense. She's a little girl, so you don't have to worry about this nonsense about, oh, she's got to smell pretty and look pretty because, no. We encouraged Becky to eat. We encouraged her to eat pancakes and this kind. She got to put some weight on. She's got to get the weight off. And she broke out, and that will end as well. But for this period in her life, we decided that for her to put on some weight, to have a little bit of bad skin, to not bathe, to not, in other words, to be repugnant as much as possible. Now, that's not to say that she's unhealthy. There's a big difference between not having hygiene. And what people will say to me, well, this is the most terrible thing I've ever heard, and they'll go on and on. I'll say, what would you rather have, a nice-smelling dead kid?
And see, that's kind of language, though, you know.
Well, I understand that, but it gets people's attention.
To say, would you rather have, because I read that, would you rather have a nice-smelling dead kid or a kid that you said smells like a dead body but is alive?
Yes, I use those words very, very specifically because I wanted people to understand what we're dealing with. What are the stakes when our children have these predators and they're everywhere? You know, the stakes are, you'll have a dead kid that smells real good in a party dress, or you've got a living granddaughter that stinks your car out, literally. And that's what I said, and I stand by that.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us. Hold on, Charlie, and how's the plane ride?
It's absolutely comfortable. I got some coffee here. I might even have a cocktail. I'm not sure. We are due into Albuquerque probably within the hour. And we're just having a very, very, very beautiful evening this evening, Phil, over the desert.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us aboard a DC-3 flying to Albuquerque, New Mexico this evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we're going to continue this discussion of the way Charlie and his wife deal with their granddaughter and the threat of predators. The girl is basically allowed to put on weight, not bathe. A lot of things that just make the kid, as Charlie said, stink and be repulsive. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back with Charlie the Fountain after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We're talking with Charlie the Fountain here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's fun to listen to. Literally, you're inside this DC-3, which is a propeller-driven aircraft over New Mexico tonight. Is it noisy?
No, it's not really noisy, Phil. And I know what you mean by there's a lot of propeller-driven aircraft, prop jobs, as we call them. They can get very noisy. It depends certainly on the kind of fuselage. The DC-3, McDonnell Douglas... built the DC-3 with a certain kind of insulation and their fuselage using the same, I don't know what the word is that they use in recording studios, but using the same kind of...
Well, is it baffling?
Well, it's not, but we could use that word. I forget, but they use that inside the fuselage itself, and they also use a component that is called dusting. It's a it's not a fabric. It's not a material so much as it's a process of the manufacturing of fuselage that further insulates. And so it's rather quiet. I know you can probably hear the engines. And a moment ago we hit some turbulence, and there's nothing like turbulence in a DC. Three, because you can feel it. It's not even. It's more dramatic, I think, than even a smaller propeller-driven plane.
All right, Charlie. Let's talk about your daughter. So, your granddaughter, I mean.
Yes, our granddaughter Becky.
Okay, her name is Roberta.
Yeah. So when we called her Becky, she didn't want to be Berta. She didn't. She don't like that. So we said, well, we'll use her. We'll call her Becky. Whoa, there was another one there. Yeah, I'm traveling with some of the guys. I've got some of the guys here, Phil, from my my unit in Korea. I was in the 8th Air Force, and we were stationed in a place called, which today, you know, there's no military base in France. We were in Bordeaux, France, though, and we had the 8th Air Force. And I've got some of my guys. How you feeling a bit?
Very interesting.
That's Vit Jackson, Phil.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm very good.
Tell Mr. Henry how you like the flight.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, sir, and, of course, being an old Air Force guy...
Oh, all right, let me,
So these are all Air Force buddies.
Yeah, they're Air Force guys from the old days, right?
All right, your granddaughter then, sir, beginning last year to keep these predators away, you let her just kind of not bait. How did she feel about that?
Well, she's a kid. I think there's a misnomer, Phil, when you talk about girls. Oh, yeah, I just felt that one. We got some...
Whoa!
Wow, that was a big one. We just hit a big bump. Find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
Find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
I said to find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the flyer pilot. Find out if we're going over a weather pattern.
That's very interesting.
Hold on.
Well, hey, Charlie, stay with me, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just wanted to. Wait a minute. We hit some turbulence. Oh, boy. Have you ever been through turbulence, Phil, where it feels like the plane just dropped about 3,000 feet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very common.
Yeah, that's just what happened right there. So I asked the flight attendant, Karen, find out if we're going over a weather pattern, and if we've got to paint the plane. I can't even say it right. I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, give me the phone back, Ben, please. So, these guys have been drinking, Phil, and I apologize.
So let's get back to your granddaughter.
Yes, my granddaughter, who I love dearly, but I said to her, honey, for your own good, I'd appreciate it very much if you wouldn't bathe or wash, brush your teeth, or use mouthwash for these specified periods. Now, I don't want my granddaughter walking around stinking like a goat, but I think that in the summer months, when the kids are out and they're more at risk... And you remember, Phil, I started this last summer, and...
Right, I remember, because the kids are going to be out of the house, and they're going to be at the beach, and they're going to be on their own a lot.
That is correct, right. So I said, I'd appreciate it very much. And my granddaughter, to her benefit, I said, honey, you know what's going on. And her friends started doing it. I talked to Cynthia and Pat McMichaels, are friends of mine, and they've got their granddaughter, and some of the parents, and we all got into this. And I did some carpooling to the pool, and I can tell you that if you love your children, you can put up with anything. And I had four of them in the car, and this was last July as we were going over to the public pool over here in San Bernardino. And I said to the girls, get into the car, and I love my granddaughter so much. And I will be honest with you, my wife's here, and you remember, right? Yeah, the smell in that car, and I understand, Phil, it was a round trip, probably 100 miles. And
a round trip, 100 miles to go from Riverside to San Bernardino? That seems like an awfully long
We were picking up. Why was it a 100-mile round trip? I took surface streets. That's right. I don't know why. I guess they were doing construction. And now that solves the problem. I'm glad I'm talking to you, Phil. I wondered why it was I put myself. I said it smelled because you've got these four little girls that haven't bathed, they haven't brushed their teeth for weeks, and not only that, but they're eating anything they want, so their skin's lousy, they're big, and you've got to get these little kids into the car, and you're squeezing them in, and then they, again, the odor. I keep going back to the odor. So in any event, and boy, I'm remembering it now.
You talking about your granddaughter?
Yes, I am. Hold on, Vic. I got one of my buddies. So, the, God.
Yeah.
We just did some more turbulence, Phil.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're fine, but I'm trying to get the flight attendant. Find out if we're hitting a pentagon and why the pilot won't fly over. I'm sorry, I'm messing it up.
Find out if it's a weather pattern.
I know how to talk. I can find out if it's a weather pattern and the pilot, if the pilot's panning. Okay. So, in any event, Phil, I said to Becky, I said, we'll go to the plunge, and I think I took surface streets that day because, I don't know why, I had an episode, I guess. I have these episodes where I forget, and so I'm just driving aimlessly, that might have been it. And
You have episodes where you forget?
Yes, I do, and the doctor said to me he hopes it isn't a harbinger of Alzheimer's, but sometimes I'll forget and I will just drive. And drive for miles.
All right, we're talking here with Charlie the Fountain. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Got some people on the line, some parents on the line who want to talk to you. Steve Dooley is checking in from Western Estates. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, good, Mr. Henry. Tell the man here, you hear me?
So say that again, sir.
I wanted to ask you, my wife's Bobby Dooley, we have a parent teachers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You recommend that the kid stinks like that, and we live in a gated community, you know?
I understand, sir.
And I got a kid that smells, you know, like seven shades of you-know-what. You can't have that walking around.
Well, the advice I give to people who live in gated communities where you have to have a certain decorum, and I understand that, sir. Believe me, I understand. Where the children have to have a certain decorum and a presentation. You can't have a kid walking around smelling like a dung heap. Right?
No, that's it.
And so I would say in a gated community, you have less of a threat of this kind of predator, so the kids can probably get them to take a bath a little more often. But I wouldn't run the risk. I wouldn't run the risk at all. Of having these kids smelling, you know what they like to say in the commercials, and I hate these commercials, and I've written to the networks, kissing soft, or they smell like a daisy or something like that. Yeah, I'll bet they smell like a daisy. I bet you they smell real good as they put them in a pine box.
That's what I'm trying to say, you know. And my wife, she, the whole idea of a kid stinking it out.
I understand, sir.
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, let's take a break. Oh, God, help me.
What is going on?
It's just turbulence. Don't worry about it. Did that go out over the air?
Did what go out over the air?
When I asked God to help me?
Yes, it did. Anyway, 877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Charlie LaFountain and more of your phone calls right after these messages.
It's so bad.
I understand, sir. I can't do anything about your kids.
Scrub it down.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, Charlie.
Yeah, it just we had a little bit of turbulence, and Phil, I was in the Air Force, so this is, I'm fine with it, but damn,
that's a big one.
Yeah, Fitz here with his wife. I've got some of the guys I told you, Phil, from my Air Force outfit and a squadron I was in Bordeaux, France, and we've been hitting some turbulence here. Yeah, that hit every... Oh, boy.
Was that more?
Yeah. I want to speak with you more and more and more and more about my granddaughter and what we're doing in Riverside and in the Bailey Park area of Riverside, where my wife and I live, in protecting our grandkids from the predatory nature of some of these fruits and not fruits, but the poverts. But I'm having to deal with this aircraft today. God.
Woo!
See, that was another one. We just dropped about 3,000 feet. Tell the pilot to take it easy, will you, please?
Okay. Are you distracted?
It's a little distracting, yeah. It's a little distracting. I was an Air Force pilot, and for me to sit here and worry about whether I'm going to... And I've been sitting here talking about my daughter, my granddaughter, and other granddaughters smelling as bad as they do in order to keep these predators away. And I am... frightened I'm going to arrive in Albuquerque. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to stink.
Why is that? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, okay. I don't need to spell it out, do I?
No, never mind. Well, let's, I tell you what, take some phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Charlie DeFountain. And we are discussing what he and other neighbors of his instituted last summer, which is to protect their kids from the predators by making the children physically unappealing. And I got to tell you, I heard a lot of people say that it's completely wrong-headed. Let me go to a phone call.
Well, you're hearing people saying it's wrong-headed. Why?
Well, we can discuss it. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Austin, Phil, and this man that you're talking to, I heard him on your program last year, and I remember him saying that this was a foolproof way. You ever using those words, sir?
What happened there?
I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute, will you? Hold on. What is that? We hit more turbulence.
Well, yeah, you're hitting turbulence all right, because I think the turbulence, sir, if you want my honest opinion, is I think you've got a turbulent life. I think your life and the way you think about things, the way that you process things, I think is turbulent. I think there's turbulence between your ears.
Well, you can make all the jokes you want, sir, but I can tell you this, that my granddaughter has never been approached or attacked. She's safe.
Well, of course she's safe, but that could have a lot to do with a lot of different things, you know.
Well, all right, you can speculate all you want, but my point is
your point is what, sir? You're spending more time worrying about that aircraft.
Are you... Sir, we are hitting some turbulence. We're in a DC-3.
No, I've been listening to you on the broadcast. As the plane hits turbulence, I'm listening to you crying and moaning. And
I don't think I'm crying and moaning.
Hey, Delta Bailey! Well, who's that?
Hold on. You got a lot of noise going on there, Charlie, that we need to kind of filter out. So what's your point, sir, the gentleman calling?
Well, Phil, my point is this. I agree with you, and it was something that I had addressed last year. I talked to this man. I said, that is a completely idiotic way of protecting a child, because children, a pervert, and these individuals that prey on children, they don't care what the kid smells like. That's got nothing to do with anything. And
you know, I heard that argument.
Hold on for a minute, sir, if you don't mind. They don't care what the kid smells like. And the reason why I know that is because my own uncle was put into prison for this very thing. And I can tell you, it was an absolute black day on the honor of our family when my uncle was put in prison.
Your uncle was in prison for abusing children?
That is correct. Little young ladies.
So in other words, that makes you an expert?
No, sir, it doesn't make me an expert. But even my uncle will tell you, who was in prison for some 18 years, even he'll tell you that what they smell like, it doesn't make no never mind to him. You know, he'll tell you they can smell like the back end of a cow on a blazingly hot and humid day in Florida. like at about, say, 2 o'clock, 2:30, you know, just before it rains, when the...
All right, we understand. We understand.
You really have an image in your mind, sir, and if you're comfortable with that... No, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable. You're the one that wants a kid to stink like that. And I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's going to solve any problems. And I talked to you last year about it.
I don't remember, sir, and that's not to disrespect you, but I can assure you, sir, I have a granddaughter that I love very. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, I do. I've got two sons, and they're very small. These are two boys.
Well, I'm talking more about these young ladies.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, are you going to make do the boys stink it out?
No, because I don't know about the boys. If they wanted to, but I'm talking about my daughter, my granddaughter.
You keep calling her your daughter. Is she your daughter or your granddaughter?
She's my daughter and my granddaughter, all right?
Wow.
What does that mean?
Never mind, please. Never mind. There was more turbulence. Hey, well, I don't care about the turbulence. I want you to explain that last line.
What does that mean, she's your daughter and your granddaughter?
If I tell you...
Hello?
I'm in the middle of turbulence, and now I have spilled inadvertently a family something.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I'm afraid I did. Mr. Henry, is there any way I can tell you this off the air?
No, you can't tell me off the air. I don't want to hear if it's what I think it is, and it must be. No, I don't want to hear it.
Mr. Henry, most men never have to face the fact that given the right time and the right place, they're capable of anything.
Now, what is this, Chinatown?
Yeah, I thought I recognized that. I thought I recognized the lad from Chinatown, and that's what it is. It's not called Chinatown. It's called Chinatown.
Well, what are you quoting Chinatown for?
I don't know. But
get out of here. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Not you. 877-87. Why are you quoting Chinatown?
Mr. Henry, there comes a time in every phone conversation with anybody that you've got to get rid of the guy. I don't know what the guy's point was.
That's why you said that?
Yeah, so you get pissed off and throw him off the line. I don't know. I'm trying desperately. Mr. Henry, this is now becoming something that I cannot control, and my bladder... Yeah, look at that. I have lost control of some of my bodily functions because of this turbulence. Now, I will tell you, I don't want the impression given to anybody that's listening.
You know, are we talking about your granddaughter or not, and what exactly is happening aboard that aircraft?
I told you that we have very bad turbulence.
I understand that, but are you going to crash?
I don't know. We're not going to crash, and I wish you wouldn't say that because it's a little bit of a superstition that you don't want to talk about. Just did it again. You feel that?
Yeah, I did. It almost went down about 10,000 feet.
Yeah, you feel that one, Red?
Okay, are you with me here, Charlie?
I'm with you, but... I'm very confused, and I'm extremely anxious, and I couldn't stand talking to that caller any longer, so I had to come up with something that would create such a shock that you'd need to throw him off the air, because just as I was commencing my conversation with that man, I had told you that I was afraid that I would not have full control over my physical faculties, and I... Yeah... So I've got to get up and clean myself up.
Well, you know what? If things are that bad aboard that aircraft, I think we're done with this conversation.
Why?
Because we're not making any sense anyway, okay? The last caller you had on the line, you know...
That guy was a pain in the ass. I didn't want to talk to him. He talked to me last year. All he wanted to do was call up and argue with me. I want people on this talk show that I can lecture. I don't want people to debate with me. What the hell do you think I am, anyway?
An open-minded guy.
Well, forget it.
877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Rudy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
Yes, Bill, and good evening to the gentleman. I wanted to say that I'm appreciative of this broadcast tonight because I think it's important to keep the children safe. Secondly, I want to say that I hope you are safe aboard the aircraft, sir, because it sounds It sounds a bit shocking or heart-stopping, you know?
Well, I can tell you that it's not been the easiest ride, sir, but we're going to survive.
You're saying that you want to not give a child a bath or cleanliness or whatever it is, so that the pervert is not going to be attracted to the child.
Yes, sir, that is the thinking, and my granddaughter this summer hasn't bathed since the end of May, and I can tell you she's ripe.
Oh, my God, you know.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I told you.
Yes, but, sir, what if the child is the child has their own self-respect, you know?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about a 14-year-old child. She hasn't bathed since the end of May. She stinks like an open sewer. But that child is safe, and that's all I care about. That's all I care about. And I don't care. You can say what you want, but that child is safe.
Okay, so in other words, you think the perverts are not going to harm the children if they stink?
That is exactly correct.
May I say this to you, sir? Although my experience is with women, I would never be with a child because I am not a sick individual. But I'm going to tell you this, that I have been with some women in my life that smell like a cow. And you know what I mean by cow?
Yes, I think I know what you mean by a cow.
I have been with cows. I have been literally cows, not the four-legged cow. I have been with a two-legged cow.
And all right, before you go on, Rudy, I don't want anybody getting the idea that we're comparing perverts who are mentally unbalanced, who have got a sociopathy, all kinds of problems, who are a danger to kids, and you wooing women.
No, I don't. I think you misunderstand.
That's a very good point, Mr. Henry. I think this guy's coming on here to talk about, you were going to, you know.
Well, I think what you're going to say here, Rudy, is, well, hey, the smell never bothered me.
Why can't I say that? I'm not trying to.
Because it doesn't apply to what you're talking about.
You're talking about normal heterosexual relating between a man and a woman, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you say, but no, it's not that normal.
Okay, it ain't that normal, but we're talking, on the other hand, we're talking about a crime being committed.
But let me say, I'm not. You're right, and I agree with you. But still, the only point I'm trying to make here. You know, is it?
Well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you can put up with any kind of a stink so long as it's a female.
I didn't say that either. I said I can put up with any. Well, I.
But look, I don't want to talk about this. I don't. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Hey, look at that, Phil. Hey, the guy said the GD. Well, I came on the program. What to say? Oh, go cry. Go cry on somebody else's shoulder, okay? Cesar Romero.
I think that is a cheap shot. You know that?
I don't care what you think.
I think that is a cheap shot to call me Cesar Romero. I came on the program with good. And by the way, Cesar Romero, who is a great star.
Well, you're going to start to tell me about the Latin film industry now and all the great stars? I couldn't be more bored.
But I'm going to say to you.
And by the way, Cesar Romero was gay. How's that feel?
I heard on this program last hour that they wanted to beat each other up, these two men. I would love to beat you up.
You'd like to beat me up. The only problem is actually doing that. And that would be a big one.
Speaking of big ones, you go ahead. We'll lay it on the bar. And you and I.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I can't.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. All right, so we get rid of that caller. Thank you. All right, so we're going to take a break because we are way late for our break. And are you doing okay in the aircraft there, Charlie?
No, I'm not doing okay in the aircraft. I told you. I went ahead and soiled everything. The seat, the pants, the underwear, my shoes, some of my luggage. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because I had to fly to Albuquerque tonight in the TV.
877-876-7445. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No. We're off the air.
That's no fair.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm praying to God.
All I can do is pray to God, then.
What about me?
All you can do is pray to God. That's all I'm telling you.
If I bought it.
No, they're not going to buy it. But all you can do now, all any of us can do, if you listen to me, is just get on your knees and pray to God. Pray to God. Ask God, please let us land the plane safely. And
we're on the air now, okay?
We're on the air. Hold on. We're on the air. Back on the air. I wish you'd tell me that we're on the air, Phil, because I was just telling everyone.
No, we heard what you were saying.
Right. And I didn't. I was telling everyone to pray.
Are you afraid the plane isn't going to land safely?
I'm worried, and I've always had a fear of flying.
You were in the 8th Air Force, and you have a fear of flying.
Yes. Now, let me explain that. There is nothing unusual about that. Okay, we're all right. There's nothing unusual.
What happened then?
We hit some turbulence.
So you react to turbulence in that manner?
Yes.
You know, I knew somebody like you. My old partner in radio, we used to fly places for our radio show. And one time we flew to Europe. A couple times we flew to Europe. And every time there was a bump, he almost came out of his skin.
Mr. Henry, I am not that bad. I was in the Air Force. And
well, you were in the Air Force, but you have a fear of flying.
Yes, I have a fear of flying, and I joined the Air Force, if you'll let me finish a point for the first time in this GD show of yours.
Well, if you feel that way, sir.
All right, don't get your. Look, don't start pulling your skirt up and looking for a place to squat. All I'm trying to say.
Wait, hey, well, hold the phone here, man. You're the guy that's getting upset.
I'm not getting upset. I'm saying I had a fear of flying, which I still have. That's why I joined the 8th Air Force, and I was very. Oh, no, 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 no. That's fast. Okay, that was another piece of turbulence. And the reason why I joined the Air Force.
Hold on for a minute. That was you going through turbulence.
Okay, we just did a bump. We're all right. What?
Your reaction to turbulence is way over the top.
Excuse me. I said I defeated. Do you know what it's like to be able to defeat a fear like that? And to man up and to look a fear in the eye and defeat it the way I did by joining the 8th Air Force? Okay, no problem.
Did you fly aircraft?
What's that?
Did you... What's that? A thing that flies?
No, I know what you mean. What did you say?
Did you fly the aircraft?
Did I fly them? No, I was a mechanic. I was a mechanic. I was on the ground. But just hold the phone because I know where you're going. I was in the Air Force, wasn't I?
Yes, but you didn't fly airplanes.
It doesn't matter. I was in the... No, please, God, don't. Please, God, don't let me. Okay, we're good. I know I'm having a...
You're having some of the most extreme reactions to turbulence I've ever heard. You're going, please, God, please, God.
You are making a bigger issue out of it than you have to. Can we just continue the conversation and not pay attention to my reaction?
Go ahead.
What I was saying was this.
No.
What I was saying was this.
God.
Excuse me. What I was saying was this. I was in the Air Force, okay? I manned up, and I defeated my fear of flying by joining the Air Force. You're asking me, did I actually fly aircraft?
God, I don't want to die!
No, we're all right. You're asking me...
I can't stand this. I can't listen to this. We're not having a normal conversation.
Why don't you just ignore my reactions and see those as a man facing his fear? I'm on the airplane right now. Am I screaming?
No, but every time you guys hit turbulence...
That is a spoke.
Sounds like a monkey.
Yeah. All right, we're good. What happened?
You just went into a whole chimpanzee routine.
Oh, bull crap.
That's exactly what you did. You want to ask Bud?
I'll ask Bud. I'll ask a guy with part of his brain missing.
You did. You sounded just like a monkey.
Well, Bud... I don't want to tell you what you sound like, but it's got a tail, too, and it swings from trees. Oh, man. God, I hate life. I really hate life.
And where's your granddaughter tonight?
And wouldn't you like to know?
No, are you kidding me?
Why are you asking?
I'm asking because I'm wondering who's taking care of the kid.
Well, okay. Her mother.
Her mother who's got the psychotic drug problem.
The drug problem isn't psychotic. She is. Oh, that's right.
No.
See, now you feel bad about leaving her with her mother.
Oh, it was turbulence. Now, anyway,
get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour coming up.
I don't want to die.
Phil Hendry.